Listen to it. Learn it. Live it. The Good Book Club, now on Spirit Mornings.
The Book of Proverbs, Chapter 7.
My son, keep my words, and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him, with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him,
I have peace offerings with me. Today, I have paid my vows, so I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day.
With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death.
Word of Promise, dramatized audio Bible version of the 7th chapter of Proverbs. The Good Book Club is on the air. The Bibles are open. I'm Bruce McGregor along with Jen Brown. And Jen joining us to discuss these verses from Proverbs today. We're delighted to have back with us on the program Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Deacon, good morning and welcome back. We appreciate your being here.
Good morning. Thank you. It's great to be with you guys.
We gave you a nice, easy passage to deal with upon your return. No, actually, this is The Art of Right Living is Proverbs, and we're dealing in the first 9 chapters with some interesting things. And we hear the words son once again, but we take that into context. This is a warning for all.
Yes, that's correct. And David uses the word son there because if you look at the context, he's drawing from what his father David told him. In 1 Kings chapter 2, the first 4 verses, David is dying, and he passes on wisdom, the idea of right living, to his son. He says, walk in the ways of the Lord, keeping his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, as is written in the law of Moses. And then he says, if your sons take heed of their way and walk before the Lord in faithfulness with all their heart and soul, there shall not fail you a man on the throne of Israel. And then in the next chapter in 1 Kings, we see that David, in a dream, he asked for wisdom, and the Lord gave it to him. And now we see him imparting this wisdom here in the book of Proverbs, because he asked for an understanding mind. And the word there is chokmah in Hebrew, which means wisdom. And we'll see that word crop up here again in Proverbs as well. And you're right. When he says, my son, obviously it applies to everyone. men and women alike. So when he says, keep my words and treasure up my commands with you, not only is he harking back to David, but he's saying that God's law is not heteronomous. It means it doesn't come from the outside and it imposes itself on your freedom. In fact, it's just the opposite. It doesn't take away freedom, but it makes us free. God's law, God's commandments make us free to love. Just like an athlete or a musician will sacrifice things in order to be the very best musician and the very best athlete, they sacrifice food, they sacrifice time with their friends, they sacrifice watching television, all these things so they can achieve greatness. And the same thing is true with us. And even Jesus says this in John chapter 14. Remember, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, right? And in 1 John, John says, the way you know, you'll be sure that we know, Lord, if we keep his commandments. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's beautiful way that Solomon's bringing us into a deeper understanding of God's law.
If you run the race, you get at the end of the race, you get the gold medal. If you've worked really hard, you will be rewarded for all this hard work. And this is a race that we're running. In this life, we want to be rewarded with the banquet of heaven. So we want to live forever with Jesus and all of our friends and family. So I love that analogy that you put forth, Deacon Harold.
In the next verse, too, it says, keep my commandments and live. So it's not just helping us become the person that we want to be, but just as you said, Jen, it helps us get to heaven. Psalm 119, verse 88 says, in your merciful love, give me life. I will obey the decrees of your lips. So there's a beautiful connection between God's love and life-giving intimacy with the Lord. And then we see that phrase, apple of your eye. And everybody's familiar with that, right? We see that in Psalm 17, verse 8, Deuteronomy 32, 10, Lamentations 2, verse 18. And in Hebrew, it's yeshon ayin. It's literally an expression that refers to the pupil in your eye, like the dark part of the eye is literally what that means in Hebrew. But what it means in popular jargon today, it means literally it means a little man of the eye. Mm. In other words, it's a person who you are extremely fond or proud of. So he's addressing, you know, you are the pupil, you are the star pupil, you're the apple of my eye, you're the one that I'm fond and proud of. Therefore, I'm sharing and extending this wisdom to you. And then we see in verse 3, it says, bind them with your fingers and write them on your hearts. You've heard Jesus in the New Testament talk about this phylactery. In Hebrew, it's called a tefillin. And it's a set of small black leather boxes containing scrolls of parchment and with verses of the Torah. And if you go to the Wailing Wall today in Jerusalem, you'll see the men there wearing these tefillin, which are little boxes attached to the forehead. But they're also a strap, which they wrap around their left arm seven times. And it's also wrapped around the middle finger, which is the longest finger on the hand, also seven times as well. And that's what they use when they do their morning prayers to remind them of the Exodus. You know, and so that's what he's referring to there when he says, bind them on your fingers. We see this actually in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8. He says, and you shall, the ways of the Lord, says, you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Mm-hmm. Hence the box with the scrolls in them. And then, of course, is the commandments are written not on tablets of stone, but on the heart.
Right.
So when Solomon writes these things, this is not just something for me just to pass on to you for head knowledge, but also heart knowledge as well.
Yeah. And the fourth verse, Deacon Harold, really kind of tees up the whole setup of a good chunk of this. With say to wisdom,
oh,
you are
yeah.
my sister, and call insight your intimate friend.
So he calls wisdom, yeah. And there's that word again, kokma, which is actually feminine in Hebrew. Wisdom is feminine in Hebrew, just like ruach in Genesis chapter 2, when it talks about breathing the life into us. Ruach, it's feminine. Because I think wisdom flows from the very heart of God. So he calls him his sister. You know, the insight, it calls this insight your intimate friend, not the loose women, And we see the next verse, verses 4 through 13, this loose women of the culture, which seduces and lies. And then from verses 4 to 13 is a fairly lurid description of what that is. But that's the culture, with its lies and seductions. And, you know, and in verse 14, you know, I had offered sacrifice, the day I pay my vows. Psalm 50, verse 14, give your praise as a sacrifice to God and fulfill your vows to the Most High. It's not just showing up and, you know, like sometimes we do, we punch the clock on Sunday. We just kind of show up to church and our hearts and our minds are not fully there. Or we give our very least to God, like Cain did in Genesis. He accepted Abel's sacrifice because Abel gave his best of his offering. And Cain just gave like what was his surplus or his leftover. And God didn't accept it. So our offering will not be acceptable to God unless we're giving him fully and completely ourselves. And we see the same thing in Hosea 6, verse 6. Because I desire a steadfast love, a loving heart more than sacrifice, knowledge of my ways rather than burnt offerings. So that's the beautiful knowledge that Solomon is imparting for us here.
Yeah, and really the whole aspect of the way that the Word of Promise dramatization was put together, and certainly, you know, the words that the harlot was speaking to try and entice the men and everything else. A lot of this is applicable, unfortunately, today because we are an overcharged sexual culture, are we not, Deacon?
Oh, absolutely. And verses 15 to 20 show that very clearly. It says, pleasure is your God, right? So it talks about the moral relativism. It talks about the focus on material possessions. So he talks about, you know, she talks about cinnamon and the spices and the material stuff. She talks about fornication, right? Because why? Moral relativism is a seductress and an adulterer, right? My husband is away right now. And, you know, so we can have this affair. Come on. So, you know, this seductive speech, this smooth talk is not the truth that sets us free to be who God created us to be. It's not a truth that fulfills our, in Greek, our telos, our purpose and the deepest desires of our hearts. And so Psalm is warning us about this. You know, don't fall for this because you'll move your heart and your life away from God's beauty and truth.
You'll get wounded. Course, like there's wounded speech after he says, once you are seduced and once you are seducted, we will be wounded by this particular working out of this pleasure as our God.
Oh, absolutely. And he describes it as an ox going to the slaughter, right? Mm-hmm. Because the ox is clueless as to what is about to happen. And if we get caught up in the seduction and the lies of the culture, you know, we're going to be leading ourselves on a path, hopefully of no return, right? And we see this in Genesis chapter 3. For God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. The seductive voice of Satan luring our first parents away from God and into a life of sin. And again, Solomon's warning us about this. And he says, you know, what's waiting for them? Sheol. Or it says hell in the translation there, but in Hebrew it's Sheol, which is the abode of the dead. Right. And so we have to be very careful. And here's the ironic thing. Solomon writes all this beautiful stuff, but he ends up at the end doing the very things that he's warning us about here. And so what's the big lesson in all of this? We have to act now before it's too late. And so the bottom line is for us today, we need redemption. We need Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen to that. I think anybody who has been wounded by the ways of the world can understand that and know that we don't want to go by the house that leads us down to the chamber of the dead, that we want to go by the house that is going to lead us to heaven. But as you just pointed out, Solomon also fell, warning us this whole time, also fell into destructive ways. So we are human. And the beautiful thing about the Catholic Church is that we have the ability to ask for mercy and move away from this house of the dead and back to Jesus Christ continuously.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why he gave us the sacrament of reconciliation. And so there's some, very good insights. Although, again, he's addressing the son. This proverb is very applicable to every single person who wants to really understand how seductive the lies of the culture can be. and to really move our hearts in a direction and recognize that when these things are happening, what's the slogan? If it feels good, do it.
Right. Yeah.
No, that Psalm is saying, no, if it feels good, do it. If it's in alignment with God's heart, if it's in alignment with God's will, that's what we should be doing.
If it feels holy, do it.
Yeah.
That's the statement that we want. We have a few moments left, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and today would be the 101st birthday of Saint John Paul II, great Pope John Paul II, and I know that he is a spiritual father in your life. I was wondering if for a minute or so you could talk about him.
Yes, when Saint John Paul II died, I literally cried. I mean, I felt literally like I lost a parent. It was that kind of grief. You know, he had such a huge impact on me because what he did, he gave me the why of the faith. You know, I grew up in the 70s, you know, that kind of post-Vatican II when people were trying to figure things out. And, you know, they didn't read the documents of Vatican II. They just said, well, let's just implement all this crazy stuff. So I was like felt banner, you know, Jesus mm-hmm. and yeah. Kumbaya Jesus. But what John Paul II did for me was to give me the why of the faith, not just the what, but the why. And that connection between the head and the heart really set me on fire in a very powerful way for God's love. So I really attribute to him all the things that I'm doing today, the decision to leave my career in law enforcement to pursue speaking and writing full time in the church. I think all of that was at its core, obviously fulfilling God's will. But the inspiration, I think, came from John Paul II for sure.
Right. Well, it's good that COVID seems to be a bit more on the wane right now, and that'll afford you the opportunity to get out. And you're going to be in our neck of the woods at our Catholic Answers Conference here in October.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm so excited. I wish it was next week.
So do we.
We do, too. By the way, we heard you're the closer for the conference, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. So that's right. That's exciting.
Call him in from the bullpen, hand him the ball, and
yeah,
here we go.
I'm going to close out the...
Yeah. So I have my topic... already that they gave me that they want me to talk about. So I won't talk about it now because
okay.
I want everybody to be surprised.
Yeah.
You got to
show
up to find out what I'm going to be talking about. But I hope a lot of people do come. You know, like I said, it seems that we are on the other side of this COVID thing now. And I really miss being in front of real people. You know,
not a camera.
I'm very excited about this opportunity.
It was great that we had cameras and all of that technology, but there's nothing like being in front of a crowd of people and seeing their faces and their reactions. So we're looking forward to having you at the Spirit Catholic Radio Catholic Answers Conference that will be in October. And until then, can we get a blessing for our day?
Sure. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, you can hear him about every 8 weeks on the Good Book Club. You can hear the Good Book Club Monday through Friday on Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.